Hey, let me ask you something. How do you feel about following instructions? When you get something new, do you carefully read the instruction manual or do you try to figure it out as you go? Maybe you're like, who even needs instructions? Or maybe you're the type who glances at them but still kind of just wings it anyways. Like maybe it was that time that your science teacher had all sorts of instructions for the science experiment, but you rushed through it and you ignored those and then it started a chemical reaction that you weren't expecting. Of course you didn't do it on purpose, but there was still a pretty messy consequence. I guess that's why they have all that safety equipment, right? Like you know how it works. Look, here's the deal. Tossing the instructions aside is a very normal human experience. And honestly, there's no judgment here because I get it. Sometimes it feels like following the instructions is more of a hassle than just figuring things out on your own. This happens to me almost every time I put something together, especially anything with drawers. Drawers are my worst nightmare. Sure, I'll glance at the instructions, but they're just pictures without words anyway. So like how helpful can that even be? But then, after way too much blood, sweat, and tears, I step back from my newly assembled dresser and I stare at it with pride. Like this thing, it's beautiful. Until I try to install the drawers. See, apparently it matters what side you put the tracks on for the drawers. They work a specific way, like anybody other than me probably would have guessed. But since I like to wing it sometimes, I put those suckers on there the way that I thought looked right, and I just kind of hope for the best. That's what I do. Unfortunately, the best wasn't good enough in this situation. See, when you install drawer tracks the wrong way, you don't get a drawer. Here's the thing. Instructions are there for a reason. I've learned that the hard way. They're meant to help us build things the right way, whether it's a piece of furniture, a science experiment, or something bigger. Like your life. Now let's think about this for a second. How many times have you come across something that could make your life better, but you didn't follow through? Maybe you saved a TikTok video of a new recipe, but you never tried it. Or maybe you found a workout routine, you did it for one day and never touched it again. I've also done that one. Maybe you even read a self-help book and felt inspired, but never put any of the advice into practice. Why do we do that? Well, we get all this good information, but we don't use it. It's like we're collecting tools, but never building anything with those tools. And here's the question that I want us to consider today. Does having that information help us if we don't put it into action? Look, we all seek advice, tutorials, guidance, because deep down, we want to build something meaningful with our lives. Whether we're trying to get healthier, improve our relationships, or figure out how to navigate life's challenges, we're searching for ways to improve. But the question is, does any of it work? I'm not asking which self-help advice is good or what recipes are worth making or what workout routine will actually give you muscles. I'm actually talking about something else. I'm asking, how do we actually build a good life? Does a good life look like the ones on Instagram, TikTok, or Pinterest? How do we build a good life that is more than a curated social media feed or a vision board? Well, in this series, we're experimenting with living nobly. All that means is that we're talking about what it means to be people of integrity in our everyday lives. The formula we're following is pretty simple. Integrity equals authenticity plus good character. My question for you is this: what if living with integrity can actually help us build a great life? The good news is that Jesus actually kind of answers these questions in one of his more famous teachings. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. In it, he gave a lot of practical advice about what it looks like to follow him and grow in our relationship with God. In fact, one of his disciples, which just means one of his closest friends and followers, this guy named Matthew, he actually wrote down what Jesus said. The sermon is two whole chapters in the book of Matthew, and it contains some teachings that were probably pretty mind-blowing for his audience, especially 2,000 years ago. See, Jesus said things like, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. You are the salt of the earth. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Do not be anxious about your life. And love your enemies." Okay, now, obviously, some of these teachings were hyperbole or exaggeration. I mean, you definitely shouldn't cut off your hand, like just to be clear. But the teachings were still mind-blowing to his audience. And that's not surprising, right? I mean, loving your enemies is not exactly an easy thing to do or what we typically are taught to do. See, at the end of Jesus's message, he sort of addresses the question that we started with. How do we build a good life? He doesn't say that exactly. I mean, after all, in what we're about to read, he's talking about building a house, but I think we can still apply what he says. Check it out. Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So what's Jesus saying? Well, first, if we're looking for how to build a good life, we need to start with his words. Now, when I say build a good life, I'm not talking about a life where you get everything you want or everything goes perfectly. Building a good life is about honoring God, building healthy relationships, making a difference, and living authentically as the person that God created you to be. And Jesus says that hearing his words and putting them into practice is like building a house on the rock. Let me show you what I mean. In Jesus' story, the house built on a solid foundation withstood storms. Sure, a corner of paper or a sheet may come out of the staples. It's not perfect, but for the most part, it holds together. Now, notice the key is putting his words into practice. Just like a recipe isn't helpful if we don't try it, or a workout routine won't give us muscles if we don't actually, you know, work out, his words don't transform us if we don't put them into practice. In fact, he describes this as a foolish man who builds his house on sand. A house on sand won't be stable through storms or challenges. Isn't it true that this is how we feel sometimes, especially when difficult challenges hit? We feel like we're scattered all over the place. Jesus is saying, hey, there is a way that you can hold on in times like this. It's not perfect, but it's much better. He's also saying that there's a difference between knowing something and doing something with it. If we hear his teachings and put them into practice, it's like building our lives on solid rock. It doesn't mean that life will be easy. I mean, there will be storms, challenges, and struggles, but the foundation we've built will hold strong. It's all about the foundation. In this series, we've talked about how integrity equals authenticity plus good character. When we practice the words of Jesus, we exhibit good character. We build our lives on a solid foundation. In fact, another way to say it is that integrity follows what Jesus said is best. Now, the Sermon on the Mount is an incredible place to begin to learn Jesus's teachings and to start putting them into practice. But when it comes to what Jesus said is most important, we can look at another conversation that Matthew records. Check this out. Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Okay, did you catch it? All of the law and the prophets hang on those two commandments. What that means is that everything God says is best, all of the instructions, ideas, and commandments that God has for human beings, all of them are summed up in loving God, others, and our lives. Look, I know that that seems pretty simple, but what if it's actually true? This would mean that living with love as your priority would truly be a noble experiment. It means that love is a foundation that Jesus wants us to build our lives on. So how do we start building on that foundation? How can we experiment with building our lives on what Jesus said? What does it look like to take what Jesus says and to put it into practice? Here are a few ideas for you to try. First, start simple. Integrity isn't about making huge, life-changing decisions every single day. It's about the small, everyday choices that you make. Maybe it's choosing to be honest even when it's easier to lie, or being kind to someone that you don't think deserves it. These small acts, they add up, and over time, they strengthen your foundation. Second, check what you're building on. Think about your life right now. What's driving your decisions? Are you basing your life on things that will last, like faith, kindness, and truth? Or are you building on shaky things, like achievements, money, or trying to impress others? I'm not saying any of that is bad, but it's worth reflecting on where your foundation really stands. And third, do what you know is right. We all know what some right things are, but it's often hard to follow through on those things. So this week, challenge yourself to not just hear what's right, but to do what's right. It could be something small, like showing kindness to someone who isn't kind to you, or making time to pray and connect with God. Living out what Jesus teaches isn't about being perfect. It's about making consistent choices based on what Jesus said matters most. It's doing your best to love God and love your neighbor. That may look like talking to your friends about faith or volunteering at a food bank. It can also just look like talking to God on your way to school and trying to honor God through how you treat your classmates. The good news is that God is with you and can guide you as you practice what Jesus says is best. When you do that, you build your life on a foundation that won't crumble when the storms hit. When you face big life decisions or big obstacles, you'll have a foundation of faith and you will have built habits of living with integrity so that you can stay true to what's best. So I want you to imagine this. What would it look like if you built a life on what Jesus said is best? How would it change your friendships, your family, and your community? Imagine what would happen if we were all known for our integrity. How would our community change if we all practiced Jesus's words every day and we built our lives on a solid foundation? Over the next couple of weeks, we'll talk more about what it means to live a life that's built on integrity and love, the kind of life that stands strong when things get tough. It's easy to hear good advice, but the challenge is to live it out. So when you head to groups, think about this. What is one way you can practice what Jesus said is best this week?